Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 77, the Back from the Big Show episode. Oh, we had fun. We need to do this every year, and everyone who's listening to this needs to come, even if you live in California. That's no excuse. California is not an excuse anymore. And I am talking to you, Kelly the Fifth, Jay, and Susan, the History Quilter. Next year, want to see you in Hampton Roads at the Mid-Atlantic Quilt Festival. It was very fun, and if you've listened to Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us or AJ over at the Quilting Pot, you've already gotten a little bit, or a lot, really, of the gist of things, of what happened, of how much fun we had. Just so much fun. Thank you to all the listeners who came, and of course, thanks to my fellow podcasters who were there. It's just a delight to see everybody. I'm going to make this kind of quick. I need to say thanks to my commenters. I did want to tell you, this is very cool. I just picked this up today. It's Grandma Gazette. And this is from Grandma's Attic, where my mom and I are subscribed in a block of the month club that we're doing together, each in her own sewing room. But we're doing the same blocks. Lots of fun. And with each block, each month, you get a copy of the Grandma Gazette. But this is the first time I've actually sat down and looked at it. And this is the February Gazette number 97. And it is absolutely charming. There are all these little articles. I thought of Susan the History Quilter right away. There's a little article on the back. 100 years ago, 1912, Marie Webster Quilt Designs. There is a quiz. Can you name this quilt block? Including Sailboat, Star of Destiny, Briar Patch, David and Goliath. I hope I didn't just ruin the quiz for anyone. Grandma's Attic, as it turns out, is located in the mid-Willamette Valley in Oregon. I did not know that. I don't really know how to say Oregon. Oregon. I think I say Oregon. You know, like an organ. Oregon. Oregon. I don't know. Anyway, there's a puzzle, there's a recipe, there's a question. Just delightful, really delightful. I did think of Susan the History Quilter as I read this because there's a lot of history. Susan, if you want me to forward my Grandma's Gazette to you, let me know. You might get some good information for a future show. All right, let me quickly, first of all, tell you how to contact me. You can come over to theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. That's where the pictures are. There are pictures from the quilt show, not good pictures. Sorry, you know it's me. I don't take good pictures, but pictures nonetheless. You can email me at Francis. Nope, that's wrong. F, as in Francis, F Dowell, D-O-W-E-L-L, at nc.rr.com. Leave me a comment. If you haven't left me an iTunes review, go ahead if the spirit moves you to say something lovely and kind. I want to say thank you for all the great comments I got on last week's episode. Thanks especially for all the Travis love. I do love Travis, and I'm glad that you share my love. That sounded kind of weird. Anyway, yes, Travis is really cute. Thanks for noticing. Thank you to Celia, to Kristen, to Noni, who gave me great advice on taking pictures, which I think I talk about in a quilt diary. Essentially, she advised me to really focus on details of quilts, and that was great. And it was great not only because I got some good pictures, but it actually helped me focus as a viewer, as someone walking through the show. Because, you know, these shows are big, and they can be kind of overwhelming. So that just was good advice on a number of levels. I want to say thanks to Shelley Beth, who says, Travis, you are adorable. And Shelley Beth, you're right, he is. She says, nice to be able to match a bark to a face. Now you know when you hear that barking because there are prowlers outside. Now you know who's doing the barking. Thanks to Turja, to Quilter Caroline, who talked about the bird by bird. The way that we get things done is just one step at a time. And because of health reasons, Caroline can only quilt about 15 minutes a day. And she says she has to be really organized. And Caroline, I talked this week about my list making. Gotten a lot of work done this week, and it's really because I just made lists and said, here's your to-do list, and tried to remember all the little things I needed to do as well as the big things. And that was very helpful. It helped me focus. Heard from lovely Kelly the Fifth, and heard from Lori and Daphne, who says, thanks so much for the reminder about getting quilting creative time on the calendar and in lists. With a toddler being preggo again, congratulations, Daphne, and getting ready to move. Oh my goodness, Daphne, this is nuts. Things do not get done unless they're written down. You gotta get it on the calendar, everybody. It's just how it works. Unfortunately, one of the things that gets pushed to the wayside is sewing and painting, but no more. I need my sanity. There you go, Daphne. Don't push it to the side. We've got to do this stuff. We've got it. It is what keeps us sane and happy. So I'm glad. I'm glad you're taking that attitude. Toddler, pregnant, and moving. Give me a call when you need help. Just feel like we need to rally around you. Moving. Oh my goodness. Hang in there and do quilt and paint. Heard from Marianne, who is a new listener who has gotten caught up. She's gotten caught up. Cool. She says she's been listening to back episodes and has gotten caught up and has very nice things to say about the podcast. And so I have only nice things to say about Marianne. Marianne, thank you so much for commenting. Thanks to April, who talks about exercise. She says, as for your question about exercise, yes, it's very important. And she links to a 9-minute video for patients that explains it in a nutshell. She says, it's not Downton Abbey, alas, but it's enjoyable nonetheless. And it is. And one of the things about this video, which if you come to the comments for episode 66, you can get the link to it, is that it really emphasizes the health benefits of 30 minutes of exercise a day. And that, to me, the mental health benefits and the sleep benefits. I'll tell you what, that gets me to the gym even when I'm feeling lazy. I'm just like, oh, I don't care. But I think, man, you'll sleep so much better. And I do. That good night's sleep is just worth the pain. The other point that the video makes, I think, is really important, is that exercise really can be preventative with a lot of diseases, including a lot of cancers. So that's another thing, since we had a really good friend of ours spend a horrible year with cancer and then a bone marrow transplant, and he's just finally getting back to his old self now. You know, that has been a motivator as well, to get out and do the exercise. And it's not a guarantee, but it sounds like it really helps. I heard from Tori, who I'm going to be having breakfast with in a couple of weeks. She's coming through town. She has a daughter at NC State, and they're going to be dropping her off at school after spring break and a wedding that they're going to. And so it looks like we're going to be able to get together. Yay. And I heard from Meredith, and guess what? Another Downton Abbey convert. I'm just, you know, the show should be really paying me royalties. I really believe that. Anyway, thank you to everyone. Oh, and thank you to Sherry D, who emailed, and she has been really motivational to me in my efforts to exercise and lose weight, and I've been asking for some advice and feedback, and she's been great. And if you want to find her, she has a quilting website, a quilting blog, but also her weight loss website. I don't know why I'm saying website and not blog. I just am. But her, which is Sherry D, and Sherry's S-H-E-R-R-I, Walker Lady. And Sherry has lost almost 100 pounds this last year. So she is inspirational and motivational. And if you see her picture, she looks great. Looks great. And she says she still wants to lose, I think, maybe 20 pounds. But she looks great now. So very motivational stuff. Thank you so much, Sherry. Thank you for taking the time. I appreciate that. All right, guys, we're running on to 45 minutes here, which is kind of long. So I'm going to finish this up. I'm going to say thank you for listening. Thanks just for being a part of this community. And let's go on to the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary, day one, Sunday, February 26th. For some reason, my brain keeps wanting to say August 26th. I do not know why. It is February. It's a very lovely day, but it doesn't feel in any way like an August Sunday. I'm making biscuits for dinner right now, but I thought while I did so, I would talk to you. I'm really tired. Had a great time in Virginia at the quilt show. Thought I would talk about it a little bit now, and I know more things will come to me later, but it was great. I wonder if by this point you've listened to AJ, because she has already put up her episode and said some of the very same things I will say about everyone we met. And you, by this point, Sandy may have put up her episode in which she plays the recording of the big group talk we had with the 5 podcasters were there and the lovely group of listeners who were there, and we just had a great time together. I ended up going to Hampton on Saturday instead of Friday. My plan was to leave about 3 p.m. on Friday and get to Virginia in between 6:30 and 7. But a bunch of severe storms came through and there were tornado alerts. I knew that if I drove, that the tornadoes would come through, and if I wimped out and stayed home, there would be no tornadoes. So in order to save lives, I stayed home. And that was fun. I just got up really early Saturday. I got like up at 6:15 and hit the road and was in Virginia at the quilt show by 10:30 or so. It didn't really take long. I left at 7:15. So, I mean, it really didn't take long at all. And I got to the Coliseum and I called Sandy from Quilting for the Rest of Us and we met and we hugged. And guess what? It was Sandy. And she's exactly the same way she is on Quilting for the Rest of Us. I am so fascinated by all this stuff, this meeting online communities in real life. And I think the podcasting community is really interesting because we already know each other's voices. And I think you can learn a lot about a person from the sound of their voice. Or there's a way in which you know people through the sound of their voices. That's a physical aspect of a person that in this day and age you can know before you know, you know, They're natural. I don't want to make this sound weird, but you know, people, everyone has a certain smell. And I'm not talking about odor. I'm not talking the smell you have after a few days of going out with a shower, but people, we all have our own natural scent that identifies us to those near and dear to us. So you know what I mean? So we don't have that. We don't have each other's physical touch, but it's interesting to at least have someone's voice, which is really a part of us, to know that. It takes it up a step, I think, from being pen pals, because you can certainly write people and correspond with people and get to know them in a certain way and feel like you know a lot about that person, but you don't know that person physically at all. But with a podcast, you know them somewhat physically. Does this make sense? I'm rambling. But as a cultural anthropologist, which I'm not professionally or I've ever studied to be, but sort of as an amateur cultural anthropologist, I do think this it's fascinating, and I was so curious about what this meetup would be like. Now, I already had a little evidence from my meetup with Pam about a month ago in Atlanta, and I knew that I immediately felt comfortable with her. I felt, you know, I'm trying to think when Pam started podcasting. I don't think it was that long after I had started podcasting. I don't know. I have to ask her. But anyways, but I feel like I've been hanging out with, you know, she's my Friday night date. Has been for ages. So I kind of, you know, and that was Pam. And it was interesting to see her face, which is quite pretty. But, you know, it was just Pam. It was the person I knew. And there just wasn't that frisson of awkwardness when, you know, if you met a pen pal, there might be, as you got used to each other physically. And that was the same with Sandy. There was Sandy. I knew what Sandy looked like. I'd seen her picture online. And, there she was. She sounded exactly the same way she does on her podcast. No fake voices. And, you know, she was just Sandy. And just we just kind of fell in step and started looking around at the quilts and the exhibit. And, you know, I feel like Sandy, you know, via our podcast, and we email back and forth some. But I feel like we've been having a long conversation for the last couple of years, and we just continued that conversation. And then we went to the meetup, and how fabulous was that? And who was there? Pam and her family, her lovely mother and her sister and her niece. Thanks, fam. It was nice. It was nice to meet Pam's fam. It was. And Tanisha and AJ were there, and they are just lovely and charming, and they're exactly like they are on their podcast. And there were, I don't know how many other folks were there, people who are, you know, podcast listeners and also part of the community. That's what, you know, is interesting, and you'll hear this some if you listen to Sandy's post where she puts up the episode where we're having this conversation. You know, there's some talk like, oh, you guys are the celebrity podcasters. And I'm like, you know, one, no. Yeah, I was like, yes, we were walking all through the quilt festival and people were rushing up to us and taking, you know, no, you don't feel like a celebrity. I feel like I'm part of a community, and the women who showed up, the listeners, for lack of a better term, the other members of the community who showed up just felt like part of the community, and you do feel really connected, and it's neat. And you know, part of their connection and all of our connections is they listen to Sandy and AJ and me and Pam and Tanisha, but you know, I listen to Sandy and Tanisha and AJ and Pam too. So you know, we all have that in common. And we met at the waterfall. We went up and had lunch, and I talked with Laura a lot. And Laura, it was great talking to you. And she has three sons, who the youngest one is 15, so she gave me a lot of good... She gave me reasons to live. Thank you, Laura. I did. It was neat. And yeah, so that was great. So but everybody was chatting and having fun. And then Sandy went and found kind of a private space within a public area, but no one was around. And so we gathered together, and Sandy set up the microphone, and we talked. And it was just so fun. I enjoyed all of it. And I enjoyed getting to meet all the people that I hadn't met via podcast, and just a really lovely group. And, you know, it'd be kind of fun to do it annually. And see, you know, and just, it would be neat. I would like that. Although it would be exhausting. I was there for 24 hours, less than 24 hours. And I was exhausted, just exhausted. It's a lot, you know, it's funny. Pam and Sandy and I went out to dinner last night, and all three of us are such introverts. And, you know, I think there were just certain points. Kind of be staring off into space, like, I can't talk anymore. And Sandy and her BFF, BQF, Kate, by the way, very charming, very lovely woman. I got to meet Kate and just adore her already. She would be a great BFF, BQF, just a great human being, you can tell. But they had been there since Wednesday night, so I think we're really, really tired. But I had, you know... I hadn't, like, not slept well Friday night. Not horribly. I hadn't slept horribly. But, you know, when you have to get up really early, if you're like me, then you keep waking up to make sure that you haven't overslept. So by the end of, by last night, I was like, okay, ready for bed. And I managed, by the way, to get lost today coming out. And it was because I was thinking about how great it was and how much I enjoyed getting to talk to everyone, and just what a wonderful thing and what a blessing, and managed to like drive right past the exit I needed to take. And then, and I was tired. I was still tired. And so made every bad decision that you could possibly make trying to correct a very simple error. Cause you know, the area is called Hampton Roads. And I think it's cause there's about 500 roads right there. And I was like, it's not a big town. And I'm like, why are there so many roads here? There's so many roads. And I ended up somehow, like, all the way east. I was on 264 east. I really need to be going west. And I just made a lot of bad decisions, thinking I was going to come, the right thing was going to come to me. And so I passed up a lot of okay things I could have done, waiting for the perfect thing, which I did not find. I was out in Virginia Beach, so I was, like, way east of where, and I was trying to get way west. So I added, like, an hour and a half to my trip, which is not horrible. It was hard, though, because, you know, when you're tired, driving on a highway, most of my trip was on Highway 58 east or west through Virginia. And it's a really pretty road. And it's mostly, you have to slow down a few times to go through towns. But mostly it's just 60 miles an hour, beautiful countryside. Not actually the most beautiful countryside in Virginia, because Virginia is a really beautiful state. Virginia-wise, this is actually fairly mediocre countryside. But it was really, I thought it was lovely. And it was a really easy ride. And the sort of ride you can make feeling a little like, wow, I wish I'd gotten a little more sleep. You know, just kind of straight road driving. I wasn't going to fall asleep or anything. But driving on 58 West through questionable neighborhoods and cities, I couldn't figure. This is the thing about Virginia, and I love Virginia. I've lived in Virginia a lot. It's a beautiful state. It's probably my next favorite state after North Carolina. But I'm like, people, would you label your cities and small towns? Because I am here. I have no idea where I am. I don't have a smartphone. I don't have a GPS. I don't even have, and this was stupid, a map. I do not have a map of Virginia, which I probably could have figured it out if I had a map, but I didn't have a map. Who has maps anymore? So finally, it was 10 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning in the South. Honey, nobody's out. Nothing's open. But finally, I was somewhere. Didn't know where, but there was a CVS. And fortunately, it was open because they're godless heathens. So I went into the CVS, and a woman said, I was just like, where am I? And they're like, you're in Chesapeake. I'm like, I want to be in North Carolina. They're like, you're a long way from North Carolina. But fortunately, this woman got me headed in the right direction, and really got back on track within about 10 minutes, and then it was fine. But I did, you know, I thought I was going to be home at 12:30 and got home about 2. So, not a horrible thing. I listened to John Hope Franklin's autobiography. He's an African-American historian, was at Duke for a long time before that, University of Chicago, very prominent historian. I shouldn't just define him by being African-American because he's a historian, but he's very well known for writing a book called From Slavery to Freedom. He's written many important books, but that's the one that got him on the map. And so he did do a lot of African-American history. He died a few years ago. Bill Clinton and a lot of famous people. Vernon Jordan spoke at his funeral and what have you. Anyway, but this was his, I think it's called A Mirror to America by John Hope Franklin. And it came out a couple years ago, and probably about 5 years ago, since I think he died a couple years ago. But he read it, which was really, and it's parts of it are a little dry. He, you know, most of his adult life was spent in universities, and which, fine, good. But he helped with, he was friends with a lot of really important people in history, and he was friends with Thurgood Marshall. I think they may have been in graduate school together at Harvard. And he helped do research for Marshall, like for the Brown versus the Board of Education case. And so, you know, it's like he's a really important historian, and it was, and was very involved in the civil rights movement. And, you know, so that part of it was very, very interesting. It's just interesting to hear someone tell the story of their life. And he was in his 90s when he died. He had a really long, good life. He actually lived in this neighborhood. My neighborhood is called Duke Forest, and it actually has different parts to it. And I'm not quite sure what road he lived on. So it wasn't like he was my next door neighbor and we were really good friends. I never met him, but I've always taken a certain amount of pride that John Hope Franklin lived somewhere around here near me. I'm not sure where. So I had a little extra time to listen to that and to think about how much I enjoyed meeting everyone. It was just really cool. Just a really nice group of people. Just what you expect. If you had been there, you would not have been disappointed, I don't think. Although Kim, one of the listeners who was there, who was absolutely hilarious and fabulous, is talking about doing a podcast, and I really hope she does. I think it was she who said, "You don't look like I think you should look." "You don't look like Frances." I'm like, "Well, I'm sure you were imagining someone much taller and blonder and more glamorous, but here I am." But it's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to look like, Kim. I just don't know. But a really good time. I'm sure I will think of some more stuff to tell you about it. And actually, probably the best thing for you to do is listen to Quilting for the Rest of Us and listen to the conversation, which was neat. And is gonna, if you weren't there, is going to really make you wish you had been there. But I think when quilters gather, we just have fun. A lot of funny people, a lot of just good-natured, people just loving the fabric, loving the quilts, so loving each other. It was really nice. So, all right, that's it for now because my biscuits, they're already come out of the oven. So, talk to you later. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 2, Tuesday, February 27th. Or is it the 28th? I think it's the 28th. In any event, I'm going to do come back in a little bit and talk more, hopefully after I finish making my sister's choice block, which is the February block for the Grandma's Attic Block of the Month Club that I'm doing with my mom. But for right now, I just had a thought that I want to share with you, and that is if you're someone who buys used books online, try Abe Books, A-B-E Books. I have found recently that in looking for used books, which I usually do, unless I'm buying first edition poetry books by younger writers, particularly who don't have a ton of Pulitzer Prizes, you know, so not the Mary Olivers of the poets, but the younger poets or sort of less known poets, I try to buy new from them because, you know, they could use the royalties and it would make them feel good to see that someone's bought their book. Yay! But otherwise, I do tend to look for used books. But a lot of, say, the quilting books on Amazon, the used ones, are still very expensive. And other books as well. And so I've started going over to Abe Books. And I'm finding lots of books that are much less expensive. And most recently, I picked up a copy of Patchwork Persuasion by Joan, J-O-E-N, Wolfram, which I think is W-O-L-F-R-A-M. She is the designer of the color tool that I used. And it was $4. I found a good copy for $4. So much cheaper than I could find on Amazon used. And I just consistently, I've been buying a lot of books about folklore studies recently because that's something I've been thinking about a lot, as I've talked about. And I've bought some textbooks that on Amazon were used like for $25 or $30. And over at Abe, I found $1 copies. So just, I wanted to throw that out there. If you're a used book person looking for good, cheap copies of good used books, I would try Abe Books. I've been using them, by the way, for years and years. So this is not a new thing. I know that I used to buy books from Abe over at my old house, and I've been at this house for 5 years. So I bet it's 7 or 8 years that I've been buying books from them. But I always tend to go to Amazon first because we have an Amazon Prime account, and therefore if I'm buying new books, I can get the books in a couple days. And sometimes they have good deals on used books that are covered by Amazon Prime. So I do tend to check over there. But I've just been amazed in the last month or so how much more cheaply I can find books over at Abe. So I want to share that with you. I hope I will have more to share with you a little later in the evening. I am about to start sewing on my sister's choice block. So more soon. Bye. Okay, it's much later now. It's like 20 after 10 and I'm sleepy and I want to go to bed and read. I am reading, oh gosh, it's another Kate Morton book. I want to say The Forgotten Hours. I have read The House at Riverton. No, it's The Forgotten Garden, so maybe it's The Distant Hours. Something like that. I'll check later and let you know. I've just started it, and it's good. She's very good. I got to work on the Sister's Choice block, as I said I would, but I'm very frustrated because I cut out the pieces last week and now I can't find one of them and I don't have any extra fabric. And my mother has gone to Chicago, so even if she had extra fabric, I couldn't get it from her. It is Hoffman Batik called Gardenia. And I guess I might just have to buy it, or maybe I can contact Grandma's attic or wherever this is, Grandma's attic quilting, and see if I can maybe get them to cut me a quarter yard. I mean, I would pay for it, but the thing is, I actually looked online and thought, well, I'll just buy some. And all these places I checked that had it, the fabric itself was, say, $10 a yard to what it would be anywhere. And then they charged like $8 to ship it. And that's just insane. This fabric doesn't weigh anything. It would not cost $8 to ship. It just makes me mad. You know, it just does. How long would it take to cut out a half yard of fabric, pop it in an envelope, and ship it? You know, it doesn't seem $8 worth of time. And I know it's not $8 worth of postage, so I just can't spend $8 on shipping. That just seems crazy to me. So I'll keep looking or figure out something or just, yeah, I don't know. But I did do most of the block and it's very pretty. So I think this is going to be a pretty quilt. I'm excited about that. I did not get any more work done on quilting and I was really hoping to quilt the border of the Sawtooth Star. I am doing lists. You know, last week I talked about how do you get things done? How do you consistently finish projects? And as I said, bird by bird, a little bit at a time. One of the things I'm really finding I need to do is make a daily list of the things I just have to get done. Because if I don't do that, I forget a lot of things. Just, you know, my focus goes elsewhere. And so I will leave emails unanswered, or I'll remember the last minute, oh, I need to write this person, or, you know, read something. Just whatever, right? Even with the cleaning, I really just need a list and say, these are the things I want to accomplish today. Let me see. My list today. Write, and then I had dance fusion or workout. Dance fusion is the class I sometimes take on Tuesdays, but I didn't today because I wanted to spend all morning writing. So, but I did work out after lunch. Bible study. I don't have I mentioned I'm doing a Bible study. It's like a year long or school year long study over at Duke, which is really, really good. And but you have to do a bit of reading every night or else it's just overwhelming. We meet Monday nights. So I did my Bible study. Email Sherry D. Did that. I also had to email my friend Amy. I didn't do that. I have to put that on tomorrow's list. I had quilt. Did that. I worked on the block. For Lent this year, I am trying to write somebody a postcard or a letter every day, kind of a way of getting out of my self-absorbed self. So I have one card, and I did write somebody. And then I have talk description. I'm giving a talk in a couple of weeks at the North Carolina Reading Association's meeting. And I just got an email from the woman who's organizing it, who seems very nice, but maybe not the world's most organized person, saying it's sort of very panicky. Like, oh, I need your talk description. I'm like, I didn't realize I needed to give you a talk description. In fact, to be honest, I wasn't really where I was giving a talk. I thought I was being invited to sit on a panel, which is different because you don't have to prepare for that. And I don't mind that I'm also giving a talk, although it's going to make it a bigger day than I thought it would, because I am also sitting on a panel and signing books. But I did not do the talk description. It's probably passive aggressive on my part. She has to have it by tomorrow, and I'll do it tomorrow morning and get it to her. I mean, it will take me 10 minutes. But now it's 10:23, and I'm tired because I went to the gym and I worked out and have done all my other stuff. So, but that was good to have my list. And even when I didn't finish everything on my list, to be able to see what I accomplished and did not accomplish is really good. So, the list. I'm having a listy life. Just got a lot going on, and there's so many things that I want to do. If I'm going to do them, I need to write them down first. So there you have that. Tomorrow, I'm going to quilt. Finish the quilting. Quilt the border of the Sawtooth Star quilt. And if there's time, I will put together the binding strips, which I have cut out. And I'm going to get that done. And then you know what I'm going to get done? Hexagon Garden. I'm going to get it done. It has been hogging my design wall for a long time now. And I just need to get her done. I do. And get her off the wall and then see what I want to do with it after I finish the top. I don't know. We'll figure that out when we get there. Maybe you'll have suggestions. I believe I've told you about the star, I made the star the red star, the red and white star, and then had the realization that really I should be using, if I want to do red and white stars, I should really be using solid reds. Yeah. But now I don't think I'm going to do that. I got a comment from Liz saying she wasn't quite sure about that star, and I've lived with it for a little while now, and it's really not doing that much for me. But I'm thinking what I may do is some traditional blocks, like I think it's called a bear claw, something like that, or else a maple leaf. And I think with these red and white prints I have, and I'm going to try that. I've always really liked bear claws, if that's what they're called, and maple leaves anyway. And I saw a quilt when I was looking at the red and white quilt show pictures online. I saw a quilt that had, I think, the bear claws. Maybe it was the maple leaf. Thought it looked great. Gonna give that a try. We're just playing. We're just experimenting. I did buy fabric, by the way, at the Mid-Atlantic Quilt Festival, and I wish I had the person's card in front. It's beautiful. Sandy made me buy it. We walked around when I first got there on Saturday morning. We walked around, and she took me, I guess maybe this was after lunch. Was it after? No. I'll tell you what it was. It was before lunch when we were just walking around before the meetup. And she took me to her favorite vendor that sells fabric. Oh, man, so beautiful. I don't even know, where is that fabric from? Some of the prints are very, there were a lot of batiks. I bought some batiks. They're so beautiful. And then this fabric, which Sandy has just posted a new episode where she talks more about the quilt festival, and I just started listening to it a little bit ago. I'm hoping maybe she'll talk about this fabric. The fabric, the weave, is you have like one color thread on the warp, and is that what it's called? And the other on the whatever, you know, the horizontal threads, and you've got the vertical threads, and they're different threads, and then they come together and make these beautiful, shimmery, kind of shiny fish scale kind of colors, beautiful stuff. And so I spent some money on these fabrics, and I should take pictures to show you. They're beautiful fabrics. I don't know what I'm going to do with them, quite frankly. I'm going to figure something out, but they're quite gorgeous, and they deserve something special, but that is for another time. Let me quickly tell you, before it's time for me to go to bed, about the rest of the festival, which was mostly just fun. I say I'm going to do a lot. I'm sorry, but I'm tired. The festival itself, the exhibit itself, was held in the Colosseum. And the interesting thing about going in the Colosseum and walking around was realizing that I've had a similar experience many, many, many times over the last 8 years, not going to quilt festivals, but going to library conventions like the ALA, the American Library Association, and the Texas Library Association, which was in Houston 1 year. And on and on. And so it's just this big cavernous space divided into aisles. And in this case, instead of book publishers with their tables set up with all their books, there, of course, were quilters. There were a lot of vendors. I have to say, I was surprised. I felt like there were almost more vendors than there were aisles of vendors than there were aisles of quilts. I wonder if that's true. I saw many beautiful quilts. The one that really stood out for me was the Jack Nicholson quilt, which I know AJ's already mentioned. I don't know if anyone else has, which is a portrait quilt. It was a blue ribbon winner in the innovative category, and it was really, really cool. And I will put a picture up of that. I got a couple of good pictures of that. I did not get a lot of good pictures. I didn't get good pictures of the other podcasters. They were all out of focus. And some of the pictures I took of quilts, didn't take a ton of quilts, but I took some, and they were not great. Some of them came out fine. And I did what Noni suggested, which was to really focus on details when it came to picture taking. Maybe not take a picture of every quilt I came across, but when I saw details, to take pictures of those. And I thought that was a great suggestion. What I really was looking at was people's quilting, especially when it was seemed to me interesting or innovative in some way. I would take pictures of that and got some neat pictures to look at and to inspire me. I did find the show inspiring. Even though, I know, I was talking with someone who said that there weren't really any standout quilts for them. And I, other than the Jack Nicholson quilt, I don't know. There were a lot of quilts I liked very much. I felt there were quilts I learned from. There were some beautiful quilts that were not moving to me, but I recognized their beauty and their accomplishment. There were quilts that were less accomplished that moved me a great deal. When I was walking around with Sandy, we were really looking at a lot of quilts that had embellishments, because I think that's something that she's very interested in right now. And I thought they looked really cool. And we were really interested in looking at how people use beading and how some people, sometimes with beading, that a little restraint is in order and really powerful and effective. So that was neat. And I think that's something, I don't think that's something that I'm quite ready to get into, but I could see getting into it. It looks really fun. I left feeling much more determined that this year I'm going to make an art quilt. I would like to do a portrait. I should tell you. Okay, so I get home and I load up all my pictures on a computer, and Will comes over and he's looking at them, and like he doesn't know who Jack Nicholson is, but he liked that quilt. And I took a picture. There was a dog quilt. And if I think about it, I'll post that, just made out of, like, gosh, I can't remember what she said, like 7,000 half-inch squares. Could that be right? I think it was in the thousands. It was tons. And, you know, just all these great colors, and it was very cool. So it looked the picture itself looked pixelated. And he saw that, and he really liked it. And I showed him some other quilts. And Will really loves color, so he really responded to the pictures of the quilts. And I think with the Jack Nicholson quilt, he saw that it was a blue ribbon winner. And he was very interested in that idea of quilts winning prizes. And had I ever had a quilt that won a prize? I was like, no. You know, my only quilt that I've ever put in a quilt show was, well, you know, underappreciated. Not, and probably not. It wasn't that great of a quilt, but it's an old story. Long story. Old story. It was put in the corner in the back. But I said no. And he got really interested in me doing some sort of portrait quilt and of an animal, and since there was that dog one. And he thought, he's very into owls right now. In fact, one of the things he gave me for Christmas was a set of really cool owl magnets, like painted owls, kind of more cartoony and funky owls than anything realistic. But he loves owls. And so he found a picture of a snowy white owl. And I said, you know, and I was like, if you want me to do a snowy owl, there's got to be contrast. And so this one does have a lot of black specks and things in it. So he saved that, and the man's gonna put it in Photoshop and print it out. We'll see. That may be my big art quilt. But there were a lot of quilts. I really loved what the quilters were doing, just how they were using color and sort of non-traditional ways of putting a quilt together that I just thought were really cool. And so I'm inspired. I don't know if portrait quilts will ultimately be my thing, but I could see trying to do some funky and funner sort of things here down the line. Once I get my true quilting groove back. I think this weekend, I don't think we have anything planned. Will is done with basketball. He's lacrosse has started, and so he will have practice, I think, on Saturday. But that's the man's deal, not mine. So I'm hoping that I will have a big quilty weekend coming up, which that would just be really fun for me to get the hexagon garden thing done, or you know, at least the top done. I speak of it in such a negative way, and I shouldn't because it's pretty. You know, it's just, I think it's more of a summer quilt than a winter quilt. I think that's what I've decided about it. Yes, so I left the quilt show inspired. I really wish, if I go back next year, and possibly I will, especially if the same people, listeners, podcasters, all of us come back, more of us come back, that would be fun. I would like to have 2 days to look at the quilts. And I would like to be able to come back and forth over different periods of time. You know, like to have, first of all, have the big walkthrough where you just look at everything. And maybe then do one where you walk through and taking pictures, but also noting as you're walking through which quilts are you really responding to and do you want to spend more time with. And then come back again and spend time with those quilts in a very serious way. And then maybe do another walkthrough all the way through the show. I would like that. And in this case, Sandy and I did a kind of a walkthrough before the meetup, and then I did a walkthrough on my own for about an hour after the meetup. But you know, I was tired, not from the meetup, but I was just, I think I said earlier, I didn't sleep well the night before. Actually, I had not slept well in a couple nights. And so that, you know, I certainly had a good time looking at quilts. It was really nice, but I would like to be able to do it in a more spread out way. And I opted not to come back to the show on Sunday, one because I was just still tired, and I think I would not have been able to see very well. So next time, I'd like to have 2 full days. And by the way, I didn't mention Sandy and I went to go see a lecture on Saturday afternoon called, I think it was like First Ladies in Fabric, something along those lines. And the lecturer was quite charming, and the lecture was charming. Not a lot of the First Ladies, in fact, none of them, I think, quilted. But she brought out quilts from their periods, and she collects antique quilts, and they were amazing. And many of them are quite amazing and quite beautiful. And apparently, the fabric makers back in the day were not under any pressure from a non-existent EPA. Or what have you, to use earth-friendly, people-friendly, non-toxic dyes. And so they were dyeing these fabrics with some pretty serious toxic stuff that lasted. And that was the amazing thing to me, the colors on some of these quilts that were 200 years old, 150 years old. Just amazing. Amazing colors. So that was really neat, and she was quite charming and had good stories to tell and just a lot of neat examples. And that's actually, I think Sandy and I, by the time it was over, one, we needed to meet Pam because we were going out to dinner together. So we kind of got up and left. And the one thing I would have been interested in hearing more about was how this woman, and I'm sorry, I just don't have the stuff right in front of me to tell you who she was, but how she went about collecting quilts. You know, I don't know. And were these quilts that when she was a little older, you know, probably looked like she was maybe late 60s, early 70s. And, you know, were these quilts that she was collecting in an earlier quilt market where she might not have had to spend like $10,000 to buy them? Or this was just an ongoing collection she was doing? I don't know, and I would have liked to have known about that. But I certainly did enjoy that lecture. And, you know, it's funny, I didn't even really think about taking any classes, in part because the classes, I knew I would have a limited time at the quilt show, and the classes are full-day classes. But I think it's funny. I would think about it. And there were classes that looked very interesting to me. So I'm not saying, oh, I would never have taken any of their classes. Their classes look great. But they were all-day classes, many of them. And that seemed like a long time. I haven't spent all day in a classroom in a long, long, long time. I'm like, woo, I don't know. But certainly I would have been happy to attend more lectures because I just like hearing people talk about quilts. I think it's cool. That's why I like podcasts. All right. You know what? We're getting on 35 minutes. So even though it's just Tuesday, I'll tell you what. I am going to end up here. And then if I've got something really exciting to tell you from tomorrow's work, tomorrow's life, I can tell you about it in the introduction. But I'll go ahead and finish up here because I don't want to go much longer than this. And there's still an introduction to do. So I hope you have a good week and a good weekend. I hope you get quilting done. Don't forget, bird by bird, all we have to do is one little piece at a time, and our quilts will all come together and be things of beauty and joys forever. See you next week. Oh, here's one little thing I will say. The boys have spring break next week, and I will certainly be doing quilt diaries. We are going to go at some point. I don't know which point this is, and I don't know for how long. This is how organized we are, but we're going to South Carolina, to Charleston, because South Carolina is Will's third grade state, project state, and we're going to pop down for at least a couple days to let him do some research. So it's possible that I will be out of town on Thursday. If so, I'll get this posted, the next episode posted sometime next weekend. All right, then. Talk to you later.